We left off in Daf Chav Ches and Beis at the bottom of the page at the Mishnah. Rishus Hagbor B'Kesef, Rishus HaHedyot B'Chazaka. When we deal with Kinyanim to the Beis HaMikdash, so even though when dealing with other people, Midar Raisa Ma'oz Konos, but as we mentioned yesterday, Midar Rabbanan, they were Misakin, that money should not be Koni, you should need to do Mashicha. When it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, Kesef alone is enough to make the Kinyan. But when it comes to HaHedyot, when it comes to dealing with other people, regular people, you need to do a form of chazaka. You need to do another form of kinyan. Kesef alone is not going to make the kinyan. Ami rasa l'gva k'misi rasa l'hedyot. Another difference between hegdish and a hedyot is that even saying it alone is like giving it to another person. When you just say that something is going to go to hegdish, that is the same as giving it to another person. So says Gemara. Gemara is going to give examples. Tan rabbanan, ketzad rishus hagva b'kesef. What do we mean that rishus hagva b'kesef? That when it comes to hegdish, money alone is enough. Gizbar shnasa mos bebehema, afilu behema b'sof ha'olam kana. If a gizbar, the treasurer of hegdish, gives money for a behema, even if the behema is located somewhere far away, and the gizbar never does a mashicha on the behema, never does agba on the behema, never does any form of kinyan on the behema, all he does is paid for it, he's already been kana it. Behedyot lo kana chiyimshuch, but that's obviously not true when it comes to a hedyot. When I'm buying a behema, if I pay the money for it, I'm still not kana it until I actually do a mashicha, until I actually make a real form of kinyan on it. And we saw yesterday the Tosus that discussed why that should be so. If midaraisa ma'os konos, Tosus discusses why the Rabbanan would make a din to undo midaraisa ma'os konos and instead have it replaced by mashicha rather than to just add mashicha to the list. Okay, ketzad amirasul gvah kemisiras lehadiot. What do we mean when we say amirasul gvah kemisiras lehadiot? What's an example? Haomer sharze ola ba'yze hegdesh afilu b'sof ha'olam kana. As soon as a person says this ox should be a carbon ola, this house should belong to hegdesh, no matter where the bias, no matter where the shor is, nevertheless, it immediately becomes hegdesh. Behediot lokana achim shok v'yachzik. Obviously, though, if you want to sell your shor, or you want to sell your house to somebody, just say, or you want to give it to somebody, just saying that this shor, this house belongs to this guy, doesn't make it theirs. They need to actually do a mashicha on the shor, or do a chazaka on the house in order to be koneit. Let's say a person does a mashicha on an animal, and at the time that he does the mashicha, it's worth $100. The animal belongs to Hegdish, and he wants to make it his now. He wants to buy it back from Hegdish. He wants to repoda it from Hegdish. So he does a kinyan, he does a mashicha. At the time that he does the mashicha, it's worth $100. But by the time he pays for it, it's worth $200 already. So does he pay the amount of money that it was worth when he was moshechit, or does he pay the amount of money it was worth at the time that he's paying the money? So says the Gemara, no sin masayim. He has to pay the higher amount of money. He has to pay the amount of money it was worth at the time that he's paying the money, which is the 200. My taima, v'nasan hakesef v'kamlo. Why do we say that? Because the pasuk says v'nasan hakesef v'kamlo, which implies that the time that you're giving the money is the critical time. That's when we establish the value of the animal. Mashcha, but what if it's the opposite though? Mashcha b'masayim lo hispik v'toso acha amad b'mana. Let's say the guy takes it back from Hegdish, he does the mashicha when it's worth $200, and by the time he's able to be poda, it went down in value, and now it's only worth $100. No sin masayim. He also gives the higher amount, not the amount it's worth when he's paying. At this time, he gives the amount that it was worth when he did the mashicha. So, Frakta Gemara, my taima, why should that be so? If you're going to say that when dealing with Hegdish, we look at the time that when you pay the money, so it should work in his favor also. If at the time that he pays the money, it's worth less, so he should pay less. Why do we make him pay the higher amount? Lo yehei koach hedyot, chamur me hegdish. Because we don't want to have a situation where a dealing with a hedyot would have been more chamur than dealing with hegdish, meaning where you would have had to have been more generous to someone, to a regular person, if you had the same dealing with a regular person, than you would be with hegdish. And since the halacha is by a hedyot, midar raisa ma'os is not konos, it's mashicha that's kona, and at the time of the mashicha it was worth $200, so dealing with a hedyot, it's clear that you would have to pay the higher amount, the $200, which is what it was worth at the time of the mashicha. So therefore, we can't make hegdish any worse. So you have to pay at least that when it comes to hegdish. What if you have the following case? Let's say you did it in the reverse order. You paid the money first, and then at a later time, you did the Mashiach, right? The first two cases were where you did the Mashiach earlier, and then paid the money later. What if you paid the money first, and then did the Mashiach later? So at the time that you paid the money, it was worth 200, and then when you did the Mashiach, it was worth 100. So nosin masayim. Still, you had to pay the full 200. My time, why? V'nosna kasef akamlo. Because really, when you give the money, that's the critical time when it comes to hegdish. What about the following? Pado b'mana v'lehispik l'moshcha asham masayim. You were poded for $100. And then by the time you did the Mashiach, it was worth 200. So what would we expect the Gemara to say? We expect it to always be machmir. Hegdish, we're always machmir, right? Nevertheless, the Gemara says, Masha pado pado v'nosna l'mana. No, you were poded for $100. At the time you gave the money, it was worth $100. That's good enough. Later, when you did the Mashiach, it was worth 200. The money is what's really kona when it comes to Hagdish. Frak the Gemara, amai, hachanami neim lo yikol chadil cham mehagdish. Let's say you had a dealing with another person, right, and you paid money. You gave him $100 for his animal. By the time you were moshech the animal, it was worth $200. The other guy has every right to demand $200. He can say, look, the Moses is not konos, right? When we don't paskin on Moses is konos. So therefore, you owe me, I'm not going to give you this animal. You're not allowed to be konos this animal until you give me the full amount. I want you to pay $200. You're going to, the Mashiach is the ikar time, and at the time you're doing the Mashiach, it's worth $200. So if a Hedyot's allowed to do that, if a Hedyot could demand the higher amount of money, shouldn't Hegdish also be able to demand the higher amount of money? So says Gemara, no. Atu hedyot lav b'misha parakai. Do you think a hedyot can really do that? Technically, if a hedyot does that, if Reuven is selling a behemoth to Shimon, and Shimon had paid $100 for it, and then by the time Shimon went to make the kinyan, it was worth $200. Technically, if Reuven were to say, I'm not giving it to you unless you pay me $200, he can't be sued. Shimon can't sue him, and he's not going to win in Beis Din. However, he's not allowed to do that. Once Reuven had a deal with Shimon that I'm going to give you the animal for $100, to then back out on that and say that I insist on more, he's b'misha parah. What does it mean b'misha parah? So that misha parah midar malbim dar flaga, that the same ribono shalolam who punished the various generations of sinners is going to punish this sinner as well. That when one backs out on his word, there's a special curse that he's going to get punished by the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's not that a Hedyot has a Heter. He doesn't really have a Heter. The Hedyot's not allowed to do it either, and therefore we won't apply this concept of Lo Yekoach Hedyot Chom Mikoach Hegdish. Fine, good, new Mishnah. Now's where the, probably, you don't want to ever say that parts of Torah are more geschmack than others, but the part that's easiest to appreciate the geschmack in Maseches Kiddushin is probably the next from here till really the end of the Masechta, but at least here till the next few block for sure. So says the Mishnah, Kol mitzvos haben ala av, anashim chayavim v'anashim p'turos. Any mitzvos of the son on the father, and the Gemara will explain what that means, meaning there's a two-way street here. There's some mitzvos a father has to do for a son, and some mitzvos that a son has to do for a father. So the Gemara is going to explain which one we're talking about, but in one of those areas, men are chayiv and women are pater. But in the opposite direction, and again we'll discuss which phrase means which direction, but in the opposite direction, it applies equally to men and women. Any mitzvah shazman grama, men are chayiv in and women are paterin. But whenever you have a mitzvah say that's not zman grama, both men and women are chayiv. Now there are many exceptions to the rule, meaning we say that women are part of the moment say shazman grama, but we have avin hayubal sanes. We have throughout Shas we come up with many exceptions. Rav Shechter used to always say there are only a handful of mitzvahs that actually fit into the category of mitzvah shazman grama that women are part of from. So I always wondered how many there actually were. So I found the Shar Mitzvah Balacha quotes the Chida b'shem Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon that there are exactly 30 mitzvahs that women are part of from. That of all the taryag, there's only 30 that women are in fact pater from on account of them being mitzvah shazman grama. The kol mitzvos, I mean, there are more mitzvos that they're patur from if they're not kohanim, and what it means, you know, to do avoda and things like that. But these are, I don't know what's mentioned on the list, but 30 mitzvos that women are patur from. The kol mitzvos losa say, bein shazman grama, bein shalo azman grama, echla nashim, echla nashim chayavin. And when it's a losa say, when it's an iser, when it's a lav, so whether it's man grama or not man grama, it doesn't make a difference. Women are absolutely chayav in every single lav, even if it's a Zman Grama. Right, that's the Chiddush Maram Shik explains. We just mentioned the Tuesday night shir. Maram Shik explains in his Sefer HaMitzvos, the Maram Shik has three volumes of tshuvas. It comes in a three-volume set. The first two volumes are actual Shalos HaTshuvas, and the third volume is a Sefer HaMitzvos, like a Minchas Chinuch style Sefer on mitzvos, where he has a little lumdus, a little charifus about each mitzvah. So I believe in his paragraph on the mitzvah of, I think it's Sfiras HaOmer, he quotes Rashi in Maseches Brachos, and he develops the idea based on Rashi in Brachos Tav Chav that women are chayiv in mitzvah saseid rabbanon shazman grama. They're only patur from mitzvah saseid al raisa shazman grama. Why does that make any sense? I would think if you're patur from mitzvah saseid al raisa shazman grama, kal v'chomer you should be patur from mitzvah saseid rabbanon shazman grama. So he says, because no, what makes all Jews chayiv in mitzvah rabbanon? Lo sasur. Lo sasur is a lav. And the Mishnah says it doesn't matter, it's man grama, not man grama, any lo sasei, automatically men and women are all chayvin. So that's his little charifus, that women are going to be chayv in mitzvah say drabanan shaz man grama. Anyway, so women are chayv in all lo saseis except for a couple. Chutz mi bal takif, not to round off the peos harosh, ubal tashchis, hashchas hazakan, right, not to shave with the razor, ubal on the face, ubal to tamei lemesim, and the iser to become tamei to mesim, and that obviously only applying to kohanim. Women kohanim are not involved, are not included in that iser. So an eishes kohen or a bas kohen is allowed to go to a cemetery. She's allowed to be tamei lemesim. Magen Avraham quotes from the Rokeach. Rav Shechter has a whole piece on this in his Sefer Bikvei Atzon. Magen Avraham quotes from the Rokeach that if a woman is an eishes kohen is pregnant, so then she's allowed to go to the cemetery because it's a svek sveka. Meaning the shail is not on her, the shail is on the little kohen that's in her womb. So he says it's a svek sveka. Suffolk, maybe the baby's a girl, and if the baby's a girl, it's no problem anyway. And even if the baby's a boy, maybe it's not a bar kayama. Maybe she's going to miscarry or the baby's not going to survive the first 30 days. So the baby's not a bar kayama anyway. So there will be no issur for that baby to become tameh. So based on that svek sveka, he says a pregnant kohenes is allowed to go to the cemetery. Obviously, nafkamina would be, what if she knows what it is? She knows if it's a boy or a girl, so then you wouldn't have the svek sveka. But that's what the achronim jump all over that rokeach. What do you mean because of svek sveka? We just had a whole discussion about the concept of galoi, besastarim, and balua. We said that there were three levels when it comes to tumah, and when it comes to chatzitza, when it comes to all these things. That there's that which is exposed on the body, that which is besastarim, which is the inside of your mouth, and the bottom of the nose, and things like that, and that which is balua. And there's no such thing as tumah bibalua. You can't transmit tumah to something that's totally inside the body, right? If a person has, let's say a person had surgery, and there's something, an internal organ has, a pacemaker or something. You say that it's a chatzitza when they go to the mikvah? Of course not. It's totally balua. So too, tumah can't transfer to something that's completely balua. So that's what all the achronim ask on the rokeach. What do you mean, svek sveka? That's why the woman could go to the pregnant kohenis can go to the cemetery. She can go to the cemetery anyway because the tumah, the baby's only balua, and a tara balua is not going to become tameh. So that's Rav Shechter develops the idea in his sefer. Again, we're going a little far afield from what the Mishnah is talking about over here, but Rav Shechter develops the idea in his sefer based on Rabbi Chanan that the iser of a kohen becoming tameh is not an iser of a kohen becoming tameh per se. It's an iser of hisrachkus minatuma, that the kohen has to distance himself from tuma, and if one can be in a situation where they're very close to tuma, yet they don't actually become tameh, that would be usur for a kohen. namely, if there's a baby boy inside the mother's womb, so technically he doesn't become tame, but he's very close to a situation of tumah, he's in a cemetery, so that would be aser. But on the flip side, he argues, if one can have hisrachkus min tumah, even though technically he does become tame, that would not be aser for a kohen. Namely, and this is what the point of the whole piece is, if a kohen is flying on an airplane that goes over a cemetery, so he's 30,000 feet above the tumah, but the tumah would still go to the metal kli, which would all become tame, which is the airplane, and the kohen would still become tame from it. The kli is not chotzeitz b'fnei atumah because it's kli matechas, so it wouldn't be chotzeitz b'fnei atumah. Okay, fine. So, but anyway, when it comes to a woman, she's not included in b'al tatame l'meisim. So the obvious question is, what's this doing in Maseches Kiddushin? What does this have to do with Maseches Kiddushin? This isn't about Kiddushin. So the Sharm Mitzvah of Halacha suggests Pasha Pshat is one of the six mitzvahs that we're going to say a father has to do for a son is Lahasio Isha. So since that mitzvah is on the list, so that's why we mentioned this in Maseches Kiddushin. The Pnei Yeshua, however, says that Rabbeinu HaKadosh has just gotten through telling us how to be Koneh things. All the different kinyanim of people and of karka and of metaltlin and all these different things. Once he's gotten through telling us how to be Koneh, items, how to be Koneh things, so Rabbeinu HaKadosh says, okay, now I need to tell you how to be Koneh the most important thing, Olam Haba. How is one Koneh Olam Haba? So let me tell you about mitzvahs. There's mitzvahs HaBen Alav, there are mitzvahs HaAv HaLaBen, there are mitzvahs Shel Zman Grav, mitzvahs Shein Zman Grav. Ah, so that teaches us how to be Koneh the most important thing in life, to be Koneh Olam Haba. Fine. How do we define mitzvah Shel Zman Grav, mitzvahs Shein Zman Grav? So Rav Yeager from Shar Yashiv, Rav Yeager Shlita, the Rashiva Shar Yashiv, always, when he wants to give a geshmak and learning, when he speaks to high school groups, or he wants to give a geshmak and learning, he always says over Chachma Shlomo in Hilchos Kiddush Levana, that helps define mitzvah Shel Zman Grav. The Magen Avraham in Hilchos Kiddush Levana says that women don't do Kiddush Levana. So I always thought women don't do Kiddush Levana because when are they ever there at Mariv on Mosai Shabbos when everyone else is doing Kiddush Levana? But he says, no, the women don't do Kiddush Levana, and the reason women don't do Kiddush Levana, Magen Avraham quotes from the Shla Kadosh, something like that, that Heim Gomros Pagam HaLevana. Because it's a touchy topic for women, because women cause the Pagam HaLevana. They cause the moon to be not as great as the sun as it is. How he knows that, there's some story with Chava causing the Pagam HaLevana or something through the sin. That's what somehow caused the Levana to be lesser, to be what it is, and not as great as it, I guess, could have been. So therefore, women try to stay away from Kiddush Levana. So says Chachma Shlomo, shouldn't women be pater anyway because the mitzvah says Shazman Grama? Meaning forget it, say they're pater from the mitzvah because the mitzvah says Shazman Grama. Anyway, so Chachma Shlomo says, no, Kiddush Levana is not a mitzvah says Shazman Grama. Why is it mitzvah says Shazman Grama? You can only do it in the first half of the month after the first couple of days. Isn't it the classic mitzvah says Shazman Grama? So he says, no. The definition of mitzvah says Shazman Grama is when you have a mitzvah that definition of mitzvah shazman gram is when you have a mitzvah that the maisa mitzvah theoretically can be done any time. I can eat matzah today. That's the maisa can be done at any time. But the Ribbono Shel Olam says it's useless to do it at those times, and you get a mitzvah when you do it at these times. Meaning, the Ribbono Shel Olam says I'm koveya azman. We're doing this maisa that you could do whenever you want. It's the zman that makes it a mitzvah. Every other time it could be done, but the Zman makes it a mitzvah. That's the definition of mitzvah Shazman Grama. The mitzvah of Kiddush Levana, however, is not a mitzvah that theoretically can be done. You can only do it when you have a new moon. When you don't have a new moon, the Maisa Mitzvah is not even Shaykh. It's not possible to do the mitzvah when you don't have a new moon. So therefore, he says it's not a mitzvah, it doesn't fit in the category of mitzvah Shazman Grama. It just helps define and refine exactly what the term is mitzvah Shazman Grama. That's what some of the Achronim suggest. The Ramban, I think in Kiddushin Lamed Dalet, for some reason I want to say later on when we go back, mitzvah Shazman Grama. I don't think it's in on Daf Chavtes. I don't remember. But I think the Ramban Kiddushin Daf Lamed Dalet says that Sfira Sa'omer is a mitzvah she'ena Zman Grama. It's not Zman Grama. So everyone asks, what are you talking about? The classic mitzvah Shazman Grama should be Sfira Sa'omer. Sfira Sa'omer can only be done between Pesach and Shavuos, and it's a mitzvah Saseh, certainly. So how can you say it's not Zman Grama? So the Divrei Malkiel, we quoted in the Tuesday night shiur recently, Divrei Malkiel says, no, it's a typo. The Ramban wrote, Samach Hei Ayin, with a shmidjik as a an abbreviation samach hayayin, and later printers assumed he meant Sfiras HaOmer, so they spelled it out Sfiras HaOmer, but really it meant Seder HaAvoda. Okay, but let's assume it's not a typo. Let's assume, like we have every single edition we have of the Ramban, where it actually says Sfiras HaOmer. So if it's not a typo, so some of the Achronim explain, based on the similar to this Chachma Shlomo, that the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is not a mitzvah to count days. It's a mitzvah to count the days between Pesach and Shavuos. You can't count the days between Pesach and Shavuos when it's not between, or when you're not in that part of the calendar. So it's not a mitzvah that you could theoretically do any time. It's a little bit doche because it's a mitzvah to count days, and the between Pesach and Shavuos part is the zman, meaning obviously you could say that about any mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to eat matzah. It's a mitzvah to eat matzah on Pesach, and you can only eat matzah on Pesach when it's Pesach. So it's a little bit of a stretch, but that's how some of the achronim explain. The other achronim say no. The point is mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer is only after you bring the Korban Omer. That the whole point is that the mitzvah starts with the bringing of the Korban Omer. So it's not based on the zman. It's based on an action, on something that actually gets done, and that action happens to be limited to a zman, but that's indirect. Meaning, and that way they connect to the Chachma Shlomo, right? Kiddush Levana, I know when it's going to happen, but it's based on the new moon. The new moon may be determined by a zman, but I'm doing the mitzvah based on the new moon. So the same could be said by Sfiras HaOmer. It's based on the Korban Omer, which itself, of course, is based on the zman, but I'm not basing my mitzvah of Sfira on the zman, but rather on the Korban. Okay, fine. Says the Gemara, Michael Mitzvah Ben Alav. What do we mean when we say mitzvahs haben al ha'av? Which way, which direction is that going? Father does for the son does for the father. If you mean say anything a child does for a parent, women are pater. How do I know a woman's chayv and keep it avim? It says so we see that it's both. So you see that mitzvos have ben alav and mitzvos that a child does for a parent applies equally to men and women. No, this is what we meant to say. Kol mitzvos haben hamutalos halav la'asos libno anashim chayim anashim turos. We mean that anything a parent would have to do for a child, that's what we say men are chayiv to do for their children, women are not chayavos to do for their children. Tanina laha, we already know this, the Tanur Rabbanan, ha'av chayiv bibno lamolov liftoso ulalamdo torah lasiyu isha ulalamdo umnos v'yesha mafla shita b'mayim. A father has to do for his son the following: he has to give him a bris mila, he has to do pidyon haben for the child, he has to teach him Torah, he has to marry him off to a wife, to a woman, he has to teach him a profession, and some say he needs to teach him to swim as well, meaning he needs to teach him survival skills, he needs to teach him how to get through difficult situations in life. Rabbi Yehuda Omar kol she'enu melamed espano umnus melamdo listos. Rabbi Yehuda, just to add a little extra emphasis, not only is a father obligated to teach his son an umnus, but it says that when he doesn't teach his son umnus, he's teaching him to be a bandit, to be a highway robber. Really? So the father sends a kid to yeshiva and he never teaches him an umnus. So when exactly did he teach him to be a highway robber? So the says, no, elikilum alandalistus. It's the same as teaching him to be a bandit. Because what do you expect him to do? The kid at one point is going to want to eat. Right, he's going to have to support himself, so he's going to do something. And if he doesn't know how to do anything, he's not equipped to do anything, to make any money. So it's you're teaching it's the equivalent of teaching him listos. Meaning, what's the difference between the formulations then of Rabbi Yehuda's kol shein malam yisbeno umnus malamda listos and just telling me that the av is chayv lulamda umnus? So av chayv lulamda umnus sounds like it's a mitzvah saseh. When you malam the listus, you're teaching him to do a mitzvah slosa, so you're teaching him to do an iser, obviously a much, much stronger formulation. So now we're going to go through each of these mitzvahs. Lamola minalan, how do I know that a father is chayiv in the mila of his son? So the chsiv, ayimal Avram is Yitzchak b'no, Pasuk says, Avram mal Yitzchak. When the father doesn't mal him, so then the Beis Din has to mal him. If Nebuch, a kid grew up, his father didn't mal him, and the Beis Din didn't mal him, so he can't say, look, I'm Pater. No, now he has to mal himself. He has a mitzvah himself. That an Aurel he's going to be Chayiv Kares for being an Aurel. Well, if he's going to be Chayiv Kares for being an Aurel, obviously we assume that there's some responsibility that lies with him. So therefore it's his own mitzvah to be mal himself. Famous machlokas Rambam Ravid, exactly when you get kares, meaning what the violation, when the isser is violated. So the Rambam writes that the isser is every single moment of the person's life that he doesn't have a mila, he's in violation of the isser. The chiyuv kares is only if he dies without a bris. Meaning there's no chiyuv kares up until the last moment of his life when he dies. All right, there's a lot of raid on that Rambam and discussion between what the Ravid's comment on the Rambam is, but we don't have time for that now. So says in Gemara, how do I know a woman is not chayiv to be mal her child? Pasuk says, "Kasher tziva oso elokim, oso v'lo osa." So we see that the man is chayiv to be mal his child. The woman is not chayiv to be mal the child. So ashkan miyad ledoros minalan. So yeah, we know that that's true for Avram Avinu. How do I know that's true for all future generations? So tam de'ber b'shmal kol makom shemar tzav enu el zirus miyad ledoros. Whenever the word tzav appears, it's both a zirus, meaning to do it quickly and early, and it means to apply to all generations. Zirus zichsev. Where do we find that it's a zirus? Because it says v'tzav es Yeshua v'chaskeu v'amtzeu. Right, strengthen him and get him psyched up. Miyad ledoros zichsev minayom shetiv Hashem. Right, again, the Lashon of Tzav applied Ludoros. So that's how we know that. So says Tosos, Oso Velo Osa. Right, we have the special drasha, a woman is not chayiv to mal a child because it's Oso Velo Osa. Frekt Tosos, Im Tomer, Lam Likra. Why do you need a special pasuk to tell me that women are not chayiv to mal their children? Anyway, women are anachayiv in the mitzvah of Mila because it's mitzvah shazman grama. You're supposed to do the Mila on the eighth day. So women should be pater anyway. So says Tosos, no. It's not called zman grama because the mitzvah starts on the eighth day. But once the eighth day passes, it's the rest of the life is the zman for the mitzvah of Mila. So since there's no end time, it's not called zman grama. Zman grama is only when there's a clearly defined beginning and end time for the mitzvah. But a mitzvah that goes on indefinitely is not called zman grama. Isn't it still mitzvah shazman grama? Because we don't do mila at night, we only do mila during the day. So just like tefillin is mitzvah shazman grama, we only do it during the day, not at night. Mila should also be mitzvah shazman grama. Now we're assuming that a mila shalob ismana can be done at night as well. Meaning, as soon as the eighth day, morning of the eighth day comes, then the mila, the mitzvah does not have any breaks. It goes forever. Now the Tosos is not the only answer, right? Tosos is answer that it's not called zman grama because it applies constantly after day eight. Is not the only answer out there. Marachor Zeruah and Simin Yud Aleph in Chuvas Marachor Zeruah says that the mitzvah of mila is not a mitzvah of doing the bris mila. It's a mitzvah of having mila, and the mitzvah of having mila is a constant. So even if the mitzvah of doing the bris mila is only on the eighth day, but once that mila is done, it's a constant afterwards. The mitzvah is constantly with the person. And the raya is from the famous Gemara Menachos, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, about David HaMelech, that the Gemara says that David HaMelech was in the Beis HaMerchatz once and he felt that he was arum min ha-mitzvahs. He felt that he had nothing. He didn't have his tefillin, he didn't have his tzitzis. He felt naked from mitzvahs. So Gemara says, but then he saw that he had a mila, and that made him happy again. He realized that he always had a mitzvah with him. So says Marachar Zeruah, why? Because let's say David was 40 years old at the time. So because 40 years ago, his father did a mitzvah, Yishai did a mitzvah on him, that made him happy that he has a mitzvah? What are you talking about? The mitzvah of Mila is not a mitzvah he's doing now. It was done once when he was 8 days old. So says Marach HaZeruah, no, you see from there is that the mitzvah of Mila is not just a one-time act. The mitzvah of Mila is the constant having of a bris Mila. Tosas Rid famously says, no, the mitzvah of Mila is not to do the act of Mila, nor even to have the Mila. The mitzvah of Mila is to arrange for a bris Mila, to do whatever hisaskus, whatever it takes, to make sure that a child gets a Mila. And that applies both daytime and nighttime, and therefore it's called, and it also applies the moment the child is born, and therefore it's not called zman grama, that as soon as the child is born, you would need to do arrangements and make sure that he gets the Mila, and that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not just the Maisa itself. The Ramban and the Ritva, however, say that that it is a zman grama. Mila in achinami is a mitzvah shah zman grama. Why do I need a drasha then to tell me that women are pater if it's zman grama? So they say no, that women would be obligated in mitzvah shah zman grama when the mitzvah is not on their body, when it's not a mitzvah haguf, it's not a mitzvah on their own guf to do, of taking luv and esrog, they have to pick it up with their own hands. You can't have someone else pick up luv and esrog for you, right? You have to do it yourself. But the mitzvah of mila, it's obviously not on the woman's guf, it's on someone else's guf. Whenever it's on something else, even if it's mitzvah shazman grama, women would be chayiv in the mitzvah. Minchas Chinuch uses this Ramban in a number of places. Minchas Chinuch mitzvah lamed beis, when he talks about shvisas behema, mitzvah kuf yud beis, when he talks about shemitah, mitzvah shin pei vav, when he talks about tzitzis, he uses this Ramban Ritva to explain a lot of different things. Okay, we don't have time to get into all of it, but that's the very basics. Just one more quick ha'ara, and that is that in the Gemara Masechta Sivah Mishnah Vayin Aleph by Karban Pesach, the Gemara says that if a child is not mauled because his father and mother are in jail, and Rashi over there says, why do we say father and mother? Because mitzvahs mila mutelas aleihem. The mitzvah of mila is on them. So the obvious kasha is, did Rashi not learn Kiddush L'chavtes? What do you mean, mitzvah's on them? The mitzvah's on the father, not on the mother. Who said anything about it? We have a special drash to say the mitzvah is not on the mother. So the makne in our sugya here in Kiddush L'chavtes says that no, Osovel Osa tells me that we learned in our Gemara the three levels of the mitzvah of Mila. There's a chiyuv ha'av, there's a chiyuv of, if the father doesn't do it, of the rest of Klal Yisrael, of the Bezin, of the rest of Klal Yisrael, and then if they don't do it, then there's a mitzvah of the person himself doing it. The mother is only excluded from level one. She's still chayiv to do the mila like everybody else in Klal Yisrael, and Adrab is more likely than everyone else in Klal Yisrael to do it, because you have to worry about your krovim first. So she's the closest to the child. She's only pater from level one of the mitzvah of mila, not from the other levels of the mitzvah of mila. That happens to be, the makna happens to be in disagreement with the Minchas Chinuch, because the Rambam doesn't quote this idea of osov lo osa, and the Minchas Chinuch suggests that it's obvious because the Rambam goes through the different chiyuvim. He says that the mitzvah on the father, mitzvah on beis din, the mitzvah al atzmo. So you should see yourself. The Minchas Chinuch writes a mitzvah beis. You see by yourself that the woman, the mother's not ever there. But according to the makna, you don't see that at all, because in level two the mother is there. So don't say you see automatically that the mother's not there just by the Rambam going through the list. So it's a machlokas between the makna and the Minchas Chinuch. There's one more word about mila which has to be mentioned in Rav Zevin in his sefer on Ishim Beshitos, his sefer on Torah personalities. Has a lot of pages on the Ragachavri. He tries to great lengths to describe the Ragachavri. And one of the way he describes him in learning is that whereas Reb Chaim was big in tzvei dinim, that there are two dinim for a given mitzvah, the Ragachavar was very big into making three dinim. And he says in his classic example of the mitzvah of Mila, there are three dinim in the mitzvah of Mila. There's the act of Mila, there's that you should be mahul, and there's the iser not to be an arel. And you can have one without the other in a number of situations. A child is born mahul, so he is mahul. He's not an arel, but he never had the pu'ulas mila. That's why he needed to do atavas dam bris. If someone did mila and then was moshech bar lasso, he had the pu'ulas mila, and he's not an arel, right? He's a lot of yitruma. He's not an arel, but he doesn't have. He's not yia nimal. He doesn't have the fact that he is right now nimal. Someone is born with two arelos, right? So and then they only mal one of them. So he had the pu'ulas mila, and he is nimal, but he's still an arel. So that's what the Ragachavar goes through, all the different permutations. Okay, let's see the Gemara Vayter. Liftosa, father has to be poddisamhinalandhsivkalbukhabinachatifteheikhadalparke avu mechaivilumifke. When the father doesn't do it, kid has to do it himself. Tchsiv padotifte, vi iminalandlamifkada. How do I know a mother doesn't have to do pinya ben on the child? Tchsiv ti pada tifte kolsha mitsuva liftosa satsmo, mitsuva liftosa sacherim. Only one who has a mitzvah to be pod themselves has a mitzvah to be pod to other people. Vakolsha ain't a mitzvah liftosa satsmo, ain't a mitzvah liftosa. Anyone who doesn't have to be poda themselves does not have to be poda other people. Mother obviously isn't poda herself, therefore she doesn't have to be poda her child. How do you know a mother is not poda herself, a woman is not poda herself? How do I know a woman doesn't have to be pulled to herself? Because her father never had to be pulled to her. Anyone whose father didn't have to be pulled to her does not have to be pulled to themselves. Okay, so let's go back to that step. How do I know that her father didn't have to be pulled to her when she was a little girl? Kol b'char b'necha tifteh b'necha v'lo b'nosecha. Drash from the pasuk, dafka a son, not a daughter. Tan Rabban, who liftos b'no liftos, who kadum l'b'no. If you have an option, either you or your son, you could be pulled to one of you, either you or your son. So he, the son, the father comes before the son. Rabbi Yehuda omer b'no kodmosh, zemitzos alav, zemitzos b'no alav. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you take care of your son first, right? Like on the airplanes, you take care of on the airplane, you take care of yourself first. You take care of your son first because what most parents would do. You take care of your son first because the primary mitzvah of Pinyin HaBen, the stage one of the mitzvah of Pinyin HaBen is for a father to do for a child. So you have a greater chi of klapa your child than you do klapa yourself. If all you have is five slotim, so then you come before your son. You do the pidyon on yourself, not your son. My taima, mitzvah du gufei adifa. That because a mitzvah on your guf takes precedence. Ki pligi, the only machlokas is hechadika chamish mushubadim chamish bnei chorin. So when you have five slotim of bnei chorin that there are no liens on, and five that are mushubadim, so Rabbi Yehuda savra milva de ksiv b'torah k'ksiv b'shtardam. Rabbi Yehuda says that any obligation that you have that's written in the Torah is as if there's a shtar on it. So bahani chamish parik lebrei. So therefore, you take the five that are bnei chorin, use that for your son, va'az l'koin v'tarif le'il chamish mushubadim l'diday, and the koin can go confiscate the nechasim mushubadim for your own pidyon haben. Rabbanan savra milva and say no, just because it's written in the Torah, it's not as if it's ksuva b'shtar, and therefore you can't be torif mimushubadim. You're not allowed to take away from nechasim mushubadim for the mitzvah. The big discussion on this little passage of Gemara is a guy only has five slotim. He's supposed to spend it on a mitzvah saseh and pidyon haben. We've been discussing on Tuesday nights for the last like month already that the concept of a mevazveis al yevazveis yosu mechamash. You're not supposed to spend more than 20% of your income on mitzvahs. So how a guy has only five slotim? How could it be that we're mechayiv him to spend it on pidyon haben on his or his sons? Pidyon haben. So that's a famous Bir Halacha in Tafresh and Vav. You look, the Bir Halacha has a long discussion of all the Gemaras that seem to imply that someone spent more than 20% on a mitzvah saseh. You have with Hillel going to the Beis Medrash. He made one tropic of money a day and paid half of it each day to go to the Beis Medrash. That was obviously more than 20%. A lot of Gemaras like that. And he tries to come up with a rule that fits all the Gemaras. Ayin Shem. Or just listen to the Shurim online. Tan Rabbanan. Liftos is benov la'al s'regel, podos benov achachal l'regel. If a person has the option to be poda his son or to be al regel, he should be poda his son and then be al regel. Rabbi Yehuda omer al regel v'achachach podos beno. Ali al regel takes precedence. Why? Shizu mitzvah veres, shizu mitzvah sheino veres. Because if you're not poda your son, maybe when you get money next week you'll be able to do it. If you're not al regel now, you're not going to be able to be al regel next week. Bishlam l'Rabbi Yehuda k'tekamer taima l'Rabban ma'itamayev. So I understand why Ali al regel takes precedence, because it's a mitzvah veres. Good, you explain the reason. But why would you ever say, what about the other shita? What would the Rabbanan say? Why should pidyon haben take precedence? Dama Krai says, because it's indicated as such in the pasuk. Kol b'char b'necha tifteh v'hadu lo yirupanai reikam. First it says about pidyon haben, and then it says about Liel Regal. Tana Rabbanan. Minayin shemayin lo chamish rabbanu mechamish lashem shchayiv lifto school. And how do I know if you have five sons from five women, you have to pidyon in all of them? Tam lomu kol b'char b'necha tifteh. All b'charos. Kol b'char b'necha. Pshita b'peta rechem tal rachman. Frankly, Mara, isn't that obvious? The peta rechem relates to the woman. So as long as it's the woman's first child, of course you can do pidyon haben. No, mal detem neil b'char b'char b'nechla mal on I might think that just like by Yerusha, it depends on the father. So to over here, it would depend on the father. Kamashmal, that it's not so. L'lamdo Torah, the father has to teach his son to learn Torah. Minalan, how do I know that? T'chsiv l'matam osanos b'neichem. V'echad l'ag m'rayavu ha-mechayiv ihu l'migmar nafshi. If the father doesn't teach him, son has to teach himself. T'chsiv l'matam. Ihi minalan v'al mechayiv. How do I know a mother doesn't have to teach a child Torah? T'chsiv l'matam l'matam. Kol shem mitzuv l'lum l'mitzuv l'lamid. Kol shem mitzuv l'lum l'mitzuv l'lamid. Only someone who has to learn has to teach. A mother doesn't have to learn, therefore she doesn't have to teach her son. How do I know a mother doesn't have to learn? Only when someone else has a chiv to teach you do you have to learn. But a woman, the no one has a chiv to teach her. How do I know her father doesn't have to teach her Torah? So you know that there's no chiv to teach the daughter Torah. Obviously, there is a chiv for a woman to learn halachas that relate to them, meaning there is a chiyah for women to be frum. A woman can't be frum if she doesn't know the mitzvahs, if she doesn't know what she has to do. So it's very important that a woman learns the mitzvah, seishas man grama, and that's where the Chafetz Chaim extended that halacha, and the Rav even further extended it, much further, in terms of a woman's learning Torah. The Chafetz Chaim said, mitzvah is for a woman to be frum. She has to learn whatever it takes to be frum. Nowadays, a woman's not going to be frum if she doesn't learn a little musr. Given the culture and all these pressures of society, she needs to learn a little musr, she needs to learn Pirkei Avos, things like that, in order to remain frum. The Rav thought that given 20th century America that he was dealing with, where women were exposed to the highest levels of secular education and PhDs and getting all sorts of degrees, and if they wouldn't be exposed to equally high levels of sophisticated Torah, he thought that they were in danger of not being frum, of not buying into Torah Judaism to the highest extent, and that's why he thought women should be taught Torah on even the deepest levels. Again, not because there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah for a daughter, but it all relates to that mitzvah that a woman has to know things that are relevant to them.